This is BTV, Business Television. Discover companies to invest in.
This week, energy storage reinvented, how artificial intelligence is saving energy, gold production in Quebec and the Yukon, plus a cannabis company grows its market share. Hello, I'm Taylor Tone.
And I'm Jessica Katrachak. Welcome to BTV Business Television.
On this episode, we explore some traditional investment opportunities, possibly the next gold mine to go into production, and cutting-edge technology.
Like artificial intelligence, though it's long been a mainstay of science fiction, it's very rapidly entering the mainstream.
More and more, AI is big business.
AI is really opening up doors for us to be able to solve problems that were traditionally considered to be impractical or impossible for people to solve. We're just starting to tap into the real potential for AI out in the real world as we begin to discover access to all of the data that we have and how to pull it together so that way we can apply it to these advanced neural networks for interesting business outcomes.
Sometimes the true value of a technological breakthrough is hard to appreciate right away. A perfect example is a company in Austin, Texas, that's an innovator in the field of solid-state electrical energy storage. Eastor Corp is building a better capacitor. Leading edge technology is familiar territory for VP of production, Brian Kelly. With 20 years at NASA, he's more than qualified to start us off with some basic science.
Capacitors used in many applications for filtering, for power storage, for cleaning up waveforms, and for protecting electrical equipment from unwanted spikes and troughs.
Many applications is a bit of an understatement. Eastor's founder and CEO, Ian Clifford, explains.
Capacitors are in virtually every piece of electronic equipment on the planet. So improving on existing technology is a constant goal. And Eastor is providing materials and solutions that make those capacitors better.
Eastor is the evolution of Clifford's previous work in zero-emission vehicles. The company reflects his commitment to capital growth tied to social and environmental responsibility. To make better capacitors, Eastor's patented technology starts with a completely different recipe and new ingredients.
We offer replacement technology to aluminum electrolytic capacitors, which are an electrochemical device. Ours are solid state electrostatic, which essentially means that we can last.
Not only are Eastor capacitors tested to be longer lasting, in some applications, they're up to 92% smaller than the incumbent technology.
That smaller size can be directly translated into a cost savings, as the primary cost of the capacitor is the actual materials that make up the capacitor.
Eastor's capacitor material was initially developed by Eastor's leading inventors about 15 years ago and improved upon over the years. Now, over the last 12 months, Eastor scientists and engineers have brought the technology significantly closer to commercialization.
Our core intellectual property is based on barium and titanium, two raw materials that are globally abundant, non-toxic, and readily available.
We've compared to existing technology and see that we're cheaper, smaller, and last longer.
Once a technology is licensed and commercialized, the capacitor market represents a sizable opportunity for Eastor and their licensees.
The entire capacitor industry is about $23 billion US a year. We've recently identified about $10 billion of market potential. The most exciting part of what we're doing today is finding the right licensing partners to commercialize that technology with us.
Three independent third-party testing organizations have certified that the performance of Eastor technology, as tested, surpasses existing technology on many fronts. Ian Clifford is confident it's time to move forward.
This is not a research laboratory. This is a facility that is designed for scaling. This is something that can become commercial quickly. I'd like to see Eastor inside, everywhere.
Apparently, capacitor replacement solutions are only the beginning.
Capacitors define the architecture of the technology that we're building today. The general public is more familiar with the notion of batteries and how batteries affect our lives. Our technology is bridging traditional capacitor technology with the ultimate goal of replacing electrochemical batteries.
Ambitious? Absolutely. But if they can reinvent the capacitor, who knows? Maybe eStore can do the same for the battery.
Coming up next, a junior gold explorer with his eye on the prize.
3 million ounces of total resources within the next 3 years.
And later, we look at the buzz that artificial intelligence is creating.
Bringing AI, data, and the internet together to solve real big problems is pretty exciting.
We'll be right back. You're watching BTV.
Welcome back to BTV. If you think all the value of a gold company lies beneath the ground, mining analyst Barry Allen suggests you think a little differently.
You still, at the end of the day, to have a good company, you need management and property, but the property comes second to management.
Junior gold explorers all have a slightly different story to tell. This one is about a very active company. Making the case for East Main Resources is the company's president and CEO, Claude Lamasson.
East Main Resources is a junior gold mining exploration company that operates mainly in James Bay, Quebec. We focus on high-grade gold assets. The advantage of the James Bay region is that it has major infrastructure that has been developed by the government of Quebec and Hydro-Quebec in the last 60 years.
But even with a mining-friendly jurisdiction, roads, power, and airstrips, East Main wasn't getting the traction many people were expecting. Until quite recently, something was missing.
East Main has changed significantly in the last couple of years. We ended up putting in place a new board of directors, as well as a new management team, with a new vision and strategic plan, pushing fairly aggressively three key projects, including the Eau Claire project as the main asset.
But as far as mining analyst Barry Allen is concerned, while the gold in the ground may be valuable, good management is priceless.
East Main is a company which we got involved in as a result of the management change back a little over a year ago. They've actually done a very, very good job in defining an asset that is of actually very good quality. So we looked at East Main just as a new management group on an asset we thought had some merit. We now have seen a PEA that says there is merit.
The company's three key projects have all been in the news lately. The Eleanor South joint venture with Goldcorp and Azimut announced a major discovery in October of 2017. The East Main Mine Project, a past producer, announced an updated resource estimate last January. And in May 2018, East Main released the preliminary economic assessment for its Eau Claire project.
We were able to define a high-grade gold operating mine that will have a 12-year mine life, a net present value of over $260 million Canadian, an internal rate of return of over 27%, and a payback of just over 3 years. The capital expenditures are estimated to be $175 million Canadian. All-in sustaining cost are estimated to be $574 US per ounce, which is considered extremely low by junior mining standards.
But beyond all the facts and figures, the PEA represents much more to this CEO.
It's the biggest milestone and achievement that the company has done in its history. Considered to be quite superior to many other PEAs that have been issued more recently in the industry, as we took an approach to make it very robust with conservative and realistic parameters.
As a former executive at Goldcorp, Claude is experienced in how to bring significant production growth to the table. As for a production timeline, he offers this estimate.
Beyond the PEA, we are looking at 2 to 3 years of further technical work and environmental permitting and community engagement. At that point, we will end up with a development decision and a construction period that would be somewhere between 12 and 18 months. So production would come approximately 4 years from now.
But perhaps more importantly, the company now has a clearer vision of its future growth potential.
We have a 3-in-3 exploration vision, which is reaching 3 million ounces of total resources within the next 3 years.
A challenging goal, but one that many East Main Resources investors will certainly welcome.
After the break, a cannabis company with some serious results.
Their market share went from 3% to 10%. It tripled in a year.
And coming up later, why one AI executive believes his company is definitely in the right place at the right time.
It's taken advantage of the fact that the cost of technology has gone down.
We'll be right back. You're watching BTV.
Welcome back to BTV. CanTrust continues to be a leader in the ever-expanding cannabis industry. With growing demand and increasing market share, CanTrust is ready to meet the need with its variety of products and its massive 500,000 square foot facility in the Niagara region. We asked this analyst for his take on CanTrust.
The medical cannabis market is growing very rapidly. The company was gaining a lot of traction with medical consumers. Their market share went from 3% to 10%. It tripled in a year. We see them as one of the best cultivators in the industry. Their yields have reached over 400 grams a square foot, which is almost double what the industry average is. So it's very impressive from a cultivation standpoint. 60% of their sales come from oil extracts, which is way above anybody else in the space, and that speaks to their ability to reach the medical patient.
Partnering with major pharmaceutical companies like Apotex in Canada and Stenocare in Denmark will only help CanTrust move forward and become a global leader in the medical market, as well as the upcoming recreational market.
Well, Apotex has a lot of expertise in formulation and product development, and they're going to speed up CanTrust's penetration of the medical market. Greenhouse production was less capital intensive to build, but also cheaper to operate. And now I have a greenhouse facility in Niagara supplying the recreational market. So I think they're in a very good position to be global leaders. And we think that cannabis is an industry that Canadians can probably dominate globally.
With the number of emerging cannabis producers and the shift to legalization, choosing the right company to invest in can be a daunting task.
Obviously, the sector is extremely volatile. Investors need to have a diversified portfolio approach, and cannabis being a very small part of their whole portfolio. We think the winners in the recreational market at the onset are obviously going to be the ones that have a lot of inventory on hand. They've been able to draw a $15 million mortgage to finance their Niagara greenhouse. So right now, they've got plenty of cash to fund their existing expansion plans.
CanTrust recently closed their oversubscribed bought deal in record time for an additional $100 million to fund future growth. With the recreational market set to open soon, CanTrust is well positioned. Major mining companies are seeing the value of gold continue to increase. According to Gary Sadu, mining analyst with PI Financial, one company in particular has been showing no signs of slowing down. Victoria Gold's Eagle Gold Mine project in the Yukon is on track to be fully operational, as in gold production, by 2019.
We've been covering Victoria Gold for quite some time, and we've been watching it now advancing from a junior explorer to what we believe is a very undervalued near-term gold producer. It's currently trading at 0.45 times its PETA NAV. Victoria Gold was able to table a $505 million financing in order to move the project forward. It was a strategic investment by Osisko Gold Royalties and Orion Mine Financing, two leading firms in the mining sector and very influential. Not only do they get the validation of two strategic partners, but the project is fully financed through construction.
With a solid reserve pushing the Eagle Gold project forward, Gary Sidhu believes the key to a successful project is its management team.
In the mining sector, what's really key is a strong management team. You know, not only do we look for a good asset, but I think what's more important is a management team that can advance that asset. So they have to be technically sound, but at the same time be able to raise the money, so have that capital markets knowledge as well. They were able to move that project forward on schedule and on budget based on key construction milestones, such as some of the earthworks that they did last year, the camp expansion, as well as a large portion of the detailed engineering.
With the project fully financed and under construction, the Eagle Gold Mine is on track to be the Yukon's next and largest ever gold mine.
The Eagle Gold Project, we believe, screens very well compared to its peers. When you look at its strong fundamental strengths, especially the higher gold grades at 0.67 grams per ton gold, the low all-in sustaining costs, a very low strip ratio, and not only that, but it's got a very large reserve base at 2.7 million ounces.
The future is looking bright for Victoria Gold as they plan to process about 33,000 tons of ore per day. When in full production, the company expects the mine to produce approximately 200,000 ounces of gold annually.
When we come back, trends we're seeing in the market to help you invest, and how artificial intelligence is saving money.
We do it in real time, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week.
We'll be right back. You're watching BTV.
Welcome back to BTV. Inefficiencies can be very profitable. That is, if you're the company with the smart solutions that can remedy those inefficiencies. In the U.S. alone, it's estimated that commercial buildings waste 30% of the energy they consume. That's a $57 billion problem that mCloud is happy to solve using artificial intelligence.
This is a company that combines two really hot trends right now. The Internet of Things and artificial intelligence. The Internet of Things is basically devices talking to devices and then taking that data from those devices and interpreting whether to act or not. Also, I really like mCloud because they've got a recurring revenue model, which is always great.
At the core of mCloud is artificial intelligence and analytics. We take data, we take trained numerical models, and we predict the outcome, and we affect the outcome of the performance of an asset. And we do it in real time, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. The AI is influencing, optimizing the outcome of the asset. We do that from the cloud, and we do it for tens of thousands, soon hundreds of thousands, of assets on a global basis.
At the moment, the assets typically include HVAC systems, wind turbines, and electric transformers. mCloud combines cloud technology, the Internet of Things, and real-time data analytics to monitor and analyze HVAC equipment's health and performance. The subscription service they offer is called AssetCare.
AssetCare solution is the platform in which all the AI, the analytics resides, and all of the data resides, and it is what allows us to connect assets around the world. So AssetCare leverages Google Cloud, and the secret sauce inside it is our intellectual property and our know-how.
Some of that know-how comes from the many years of experience Russ brings from his tenure at Honeywell in many senior positions, including president for Worldwide Advanced Software and Internet. Some of it has come from very strategic acquisitions.
The reason for going public in Canada is to use our currency to acquire companies like Ngrain.
Barry Poe, Vice President of AI Solutions at mCloud, explains what he and his Ngrain team bring to the table.
Prior to being acquired by mCloud, Ngrain had been around for about 17 years, largely in aerospace and defense, developing innovative technologies that took advantage of 3D imagery, as well as artificial intelligence to do a variety of different things, including automated damage assessment, which is the primary thing that Ngrain brings in terms of technology over to mCloud as a business.
Whether it's wind turbine performance monitoring and damage assessment or optimizing HVAC systems, the fundamental business case for mCloud is very clear to Barry Poe.
One of the things that mCloud has done is it's taken advantage of the fact that the cost of technology has gone down, the ability to harness all of the data that's already being created as we work and live and operate in buildings on a daily basis, all of that's possible today. So what we can do is we can take advantage of all that information, make it possible to make some really intelligent decisions through the use of AI, all at a price point that's frankly affordable for everyone.
mCloud customers and partners like TELUS agree with that assessment. Ken Cook explains.
TELUS wants to be involved closely with our customers, and our customers have huge opportunities to generate operational savings. mCloud brings a combination of the IoT thermostats that have been tested and approved, the artificial intelligence and machine learning applications that learn and ingest all the data from different sites.
mCloud's CEO is confident momentum is building.
We started the year as a public company with just under 6,000 connected assets. We have 12,600 after 6 months, and we are on a trajectory to double that again later this year.
And that's just North America. As part of their long-term strategy, mCloud has already partnered with SCN, an established hotel and retail mall developer in China.
If you look at just two cities, Beijing and Shanghai, and the amount of retail space they have in those two cities is bigger than most countries. This is a very exciting time, bringing AI, data, and the internet together to solve real big problems. It's pretty exciting.
To facilitate their global expansion, the company has brought on board a 20-year Silicon Valley veteran, Dave Weinerth. With sales of $5 million and growing, mCloud is one company to watch.
Before we wrap up, some final investment thoughts. First, a look at some of the newer sectors in the small cap market.
The trends that we're seeing in the small cap space, definitely artificial intelligence is one that's come to the fore recently. Blockchain, while still companies trying to figure out how to use it, I don't think you can dismiss that it won't be used economically going forward. And then cannabis space is still very strong.
And on the strength of gold, this final thought.
You got to be patient, know your value, stick with it. Stick with the people who actually can execute in this kind of market, and then we can worry about it later when it changes.
Whether you're looking at the new kids on the market,
like cannabis, AI, and other tech companies,
or something more traditional like gold,
there's truly something out there to suit every type of investor.
Thanks for joining us today. For BTV, I'm Taylor Tone.
And I'm Jessica Kacherchak.
Until next time, may your portfolio prosper.
Is BTV, Business Television. Discover companies to invest in.
This week, we visit a supersized cannabis company in Ontario and a strategic one in BC. We stop over at a lithium project well on its way to production, and we preview a brand new weapon in the war against cancer. Hello, I'm Taylor Tone.
And I'm Jessica Kacherchak. Welcome to BTV Business Television.
On this episode, four dynamic small cap companies in three different sectors.
Including what will power all these electric vehicles? Lithium. we visit a project heading towards production.
We meet with one of the lead researchers of a promising new cancer treatment.
And we check out two distinctly different cannabis companies.
But as more and more investors continue adding cannabis to their portfolio, what should they keep in mind about this sector?
This sector is extremely volatile. And I would say that investors need to have a diversified portfolio approach, and cannabis being a very small part of their whole portfolio. That way it's going to smooth out the shocks that we're seeing from stocks being up 10% or down 10% on any day.
When Bill C-45, Canada's landmark pot legislation, officially comes into effect this fall, Canada will be the first G7 country to have legalized the sale of recreational marijuana to adults. One company that believes they are uniquely poised to profit in the rapidly growing multi-billion dollar cannabis market is Blisco Cannabis.
When our Prime Minister introduced the MMPR, which is a commercial licensing system for the medical marijuana in 2013, after I had just spent about 10 years in a provincial licensing model for controlled substances, and I was like, this is it, this is my time, this is the perfect time in my life to apply for one of these licenses.
In 2013, Kettlewell founded Blisco. In March 2018, they began trading on the Canadian Securities Exchange, and shortly after, received their access to cannabis for medical purposes regulations license.
Blisco is a licensed producer to grow medical cannabis. We are one of 112 licensed companies. We are a distribution and brand-focused business.
Blisco plans to enter the international market, but to date has focused most of their efforts on domestic growth opportunities. The first significant partnership being with an established licensed cannabis producer in Ontario, the Supreme Cannabis Company.
Blisco is a company we recently made an investment in and provided a strategic partnership in terms of supply. Blisco's got a great management team and a business focus that's complementary to ours, focusing on downstream products, particularly in the medical and wellness markets.
With that $3 million investment, we have a three-year supply agreement, 1,000 kilograms in the first year and 2,000 kilograms in the second year.
It's that dried cannabis from Supreme that has enabled Blisco to apply for an amendment to its ACMPR license to allow them to sell medical cannabis products in domestic and international markets.
We are in the process of earning our sales license, so we have a cultivation license to produce. But to be able to distribute, we need to earn an amendment to our license to be able to sell. And that is a medical license. We're partnering up with Canada's leading technology telemedicine provider. That's going to enable us to attract patients that we can ship directly to. We're starting to engage with provinces on supply agreements where we can supply primarily in BC, Alberta, Manitoba, and Saskatchewan.
Blisco's state-of-the-art production facility is located in Metro Vancouver and has been designed as a hub for cultivation, processing, packaging, and distribution.
Here we have a 12,600 square foot facility that has a small R&D cultivation space, and then we have an extraction lab that is nearing completion, and as well we have empty space for future growth in regards to additional extraction for additional oil manufacturing or for commercial bakeries, so we can start to manufacture and sell edibles in 2019 when they become legal.
Blisco's short-term focus is on supplying its products to the soon-to-be legal medical marijuana market.
We are a medical cannabis-focused company first and foremost, so we're really building a really caring team that'll be able to engage and provide our patients with the best strains for their conditions. And once we establish a strong medical footprint, then we will be executing on supply agreements with retail partners in the four provinces that have private cannabis retail stores.
As the bricks keep getting laid in the run-up to legalization, is the grass going to keep getting greener for Blisco? Kettlewell is certainly optimistic.
My dream has been to build a company that has $100 million in sales. And we are laying the foundation in our ecosystem right now to do that. And within 5 years, I am cautiously optimistic and confident that we'll be able to have sales of about $100 million and build a strong and iconic Canadian cannabis brand. So it's very quite exciting.
Blisco has announced an additional supply agreement with Green Seal Cannabis to provide the company with dried cannabis. Looking beyond Canada, Blisco has recently signed a letter of intent to sell dried medical cannabis to a German biomedical and distribution company, including, if approved, German pharmacies. Germany, by the way, has become one of the largest legal cannabis markets in the world.
Coming up next, there's something this mining executive really likes about developing a lithium project in Quebec.
You are not fighting against mining. That's very important to consider.
And later, new hope for patients with a previously untreatable form of cancer.
Approximately 5% of patients will ultimately die if they present with this condition.
We'll be right back. You're watching BTV.
Welcome back to BTV. If you haven't bought an electric car, there's a very good chance you will. And the batteries that will take you where you need to go, they'll need lithium. A lot of lithium.
The lithium market is real. The mega trend that is energy storage and the electrification of vehicles is very real. And it's going to be very, very important for investors and speculators to be skeptical and to ask the right questions. If you don't know what the right questions are, find someone that does. You can do very, very well, and a lot of fortunes will be made in this market. But you can also get hurt, and so you have to be careful.
With our growing appetite for battery-powered cars and electronics, the demand for lithium carbonate, a key ingredient in those batteries, is expected to triple by 2025. That's why a company called Critical Elements is developing a new source of lithium in northern Quebec. Stefan Haber joined the company as its president in 2017. He brings over a decade's worth of experience in the lithium industry. As he sees it, the company's immediate goal is clear.
The main focus of Critical Elements is to put our flagship project, which is called ROSE, a spodumene project, in northern Quebec as soon as possible into production.
Spodumene is the ore that lithium will eventually be extracted from. But the spodumene itself has a role to play in the development of the ROSE Lithium Tantalum project.
Our approach is a low-risk approach. We want to deliver the product in two stages. Stage number one would be to build up a spodumene mine and a spodumene concentrate plant.
Customers for the spodumene concentrate include the glass and ceramics industry, an important source of business for the company.
With that cash flow, we are intending to move into stage two to build a conversion plant here in Canada, which then would produce either lithium carbonate or lithium hydroxide, depending on the overall further evolution of the market.
That market will depend on mining-friendly sources of lithium to sustain it. As a mining jurisdiction, Stefan Haber believes Canada checks all the boxes.
Here in Canada, it's organized through guidelines, through processes, through general policies that enables Critical Elements to move straight forward with the permitting. You are not fighting against mining. That's very important to consider.
Infrastructure is always another important consideration.
Infrastructure is a very big advantage for Critical Elements because the deposit is located close to an electrical power line. It's located close to a very large road. This material can be easily shipped by truck 200 kilometers and then putting on rail for another 200 kilometers, and then from the deep sea port La Baie, it can be shipped to everywhere in the world.
The value of the project was confirmed in the company's feasibility study.
We were showing very strong economics with net present value after tax of 725 million Canadian dollar and an after-tax IRR of 35%.
While the lithium oxide grade of the ROSE project ore is quite average, Stefan Haber is quick to point out that it has a low impurity profile, and that's a definite plus when it comes to recovery rates.
Our recovery rates are, in terms of industrial average, about 15% higher than recovery rates somewhere else in the world. The impurity profile is important because in an easy way, without, let's say, sophisticated purification methodologies, you can get to a very high grade of lithium carbonate and lithium hydroxide, which is necessary for automotive applications.
As the Rose Lithium Tantalum project moves forward with permitting, Critical Elements is now considering potential strategic partners.
The idea of a strategic partner is that we combine a long-term agreement by selling spodumene or lithium carbonate or lithium hydroxide with an investment which we need in order to put Rose into production.
Critical Elements expects the Rose Lithium Tantalum project to have a mine life of 17 years. In the meantime, the company will continue exploration of their 800 square kilometers. And that's a good thing, because somewhere down the road, you'll be driving an electric car. Or more likely, it's going to be driving you.
After the break, a cannabis company that believes size does matter.
HUGE is reflective of our company today.
And coming up later, a cancer researcher who truly understands what keeps him going.
There's 10 times as many patients with bladder cancer walking around the streets as get it every year. There are a lot of sufferers out there.
We'll be right back. You're watching BTV.
Welcome back to BTV. The growth of the medical cannabis industry has been phenomenal. Part of the reason is the rapid evolution of how the active ingredients in cannabis are being delivered.
We're seeing a shift into all extracts, because this is an easier product for patients to intake. They don't have to smoke it. We're also seeing now gel caps appear on the market again. I think all of that will make physicians much more comfortable prescribing medical marijuana than they used to.
There aren't many companies that can be summed up by just looking at their stock symbol, but there's one licensed cannabis producer in Canada that really does fit the bill, FSD Pharma, HUGE, on the Canadian Securities Exchange.
HUGE is a word and term that people use during sales pitches all of the time. It's also reflective of our company today.
My vision is to make this the largest hydroponic medical marijuana facility in the world. We will bring a lot of help and relief to a lot of people.
To deliver on that promise, FSD Pharma purchased a former Kraft food manufacturing facility that they own debt-free. Located an hour away from Toronto, in Cobourg, Ontario, they're developing it as a cannabis growing and distribution operation that could ultimately produce 400 million grams of cannabis annually.
We currently have 630,000 square feet of indoor space. We have another 43 acres on the back of which we can grow on. We have everything pretty much necessary to grow already in-house. We actually have a railway line that comes into the back of our facility. So we can pretty much transport from there anywhere else.
Size isn't all that matters to FSD Pharma. They're also committed to quality.
Indoor hydroponic production can give you standardization where you can actually have consistency. Temperature's the same, water supply's the same, so that batch to batch you have a consistent product.
Though much attention these days is on the opening of the recreational cannabis market in Canada, FSD Pharma is focused on medical cannabis.
The recreational markets over the next few years will become multi-billion dollar annual business generators in every country in the world over time, without question. The medicinal side, though, has even more potential.
One of the major breakthroughs in our industry was recently the FDA approved the first cannabinoid-based prescription product, and that's huge. I think going forward with the research and development that we're going to do and others are doing, we're going to see cannabinoids from a wide degree of medical conditions.
Backing up their commitment to medical cannabis research, the company has entered into a joint venture with Israeli-based SciCan. That brings on board one of the world's foremost medical cannabis researchers, Dr. Zohar Koren.
He has some very unique formulations which we now have exclusive rights for, to treat some ailments that I think would be groundbreaking.
But it's also the treatment of day-to-day ailments that Michael Ashe believes is a tremendous opportunity. Over the course of his career, he's witnessed firsthand the incredible growth of the over-the-counter vitamins and supplement industry. And he's convinced that we could see the same thing happen with cannabis.
If we look at the current over-the-counter vitamin market today, you'll go into major retailers and you'll see claims may help muscle ache, may help joint pain, may help sleep. And I think that we're going to see revolutionary products in the cannabinoid industry that address even stronger many of those current consumer needs.
FSD Pharma has approximately 25,000 square feet built out, part of which is under cultivation. The next phase of development is underway.
We recently announced a deal with Auxly, formerly Cannabis Wheaton, where we would begin production of 220,000 square feet of grow. They have committed $55 million for the initial phase. We expect that we will be done by the end of 2018 and actually begin growing the 220,000 square feet by January 2019.
At the end of the day, scale matters, and scale will allow you to reduce your costs. To have everything under one roof will allow us to reduce costs. And in this case, you know, focused on indoor, we want to be able to deliver the best and highest quality at the lowest cost.
FSD Pharma's first month of listing on the CSE broke their daily, weekly, monthly, and annual trading volume record, surpassing 1 billion shares traded in a very short period of time. A huge month for HUGE on the CSE.
The trend that is catching our attention in the medical marijuana is really the growth in volumes and patients. Health Canada publishes market data on a quarterly basis. And if you look at the last published numbers in December, you're going to see that the volumes of cannabis sold has gone up by 70% on a year-over-year basis. It's a phenomenal growth. So it shows that there's a demand for that product.
When we come back, the treatment of a specific cancer may be just the tip of the iceberg for the technology behind it.
Assuming that we achieve what we're setting out to, many solid cancers are going to be treatable with this technology.
We'll be right back. You're watching BTV.
Welcome back to BTV. The only thing better than a good technology story is an anti-cancer technology story. For over 20 years, Theralase has been a leading innovator designing and manufacturing laser systems that are used in a variety of therapies worldwide. Now, Theralase has sponsored clinical studies into a new treatment for bladder cancer, with indicators that they may have a breakthrough on their hands. We asked longtime cancer surgeon and researcher, Dr. Michael Jewett, to share their story.
Bladder cancer is a big problem. There's 10 times as many patients with bladder cancer walking around the streets as get it every year. So that captures how chronic this disease is. There are a lot of sufferers out there.
The most common type of bladder cancer is confined to the lining of the bladder and is called non-muscle invasive bladder cancer.
Non-muscle invasive bladder cancer is a chronic condition with recurrences, with multiple testing, multiple treatments. Approximately 5% of patients will ultimately die if they present with this condition.
Beyond the surgical treatments, there is a drug treatment called BCG.
Successful treatment with intravesical BCG would be elimination of either any cancer that was still there after the resection or a durable recurrence-free interval. Generally, something in the range 30-40% of patients will ultimately become unresponsive and have to go on to more aggressive treatments.
One of those aggressive treatments is removing the bladder. The treatment that Dr. Jewett and his team are working on would certainly be a welcomed alternative.
One of the more innovative approaches has been to use a combination of light therapy and a drug which sensitizes the cancer cells to that light. So specifically, a photosensitizer is placed in the bladder, preferentially into the cancer cells, and when the molecules are exposed to certain wavelengths of laser light, they will react in the cells, and the ultimate outcome is death of those cells. So that is where we get the term photodynamic therapy.
Preclinical studies eventually led to a phase 1b study that has determined that the photodynamic therapy is safe in humans.
We now move to a phase 2 study, which will be designed to achieve evidence that this works in patients. Assuming that this phase 2 is positive and we eradicate this disease in a significant proportion of those patients, then there is a pretty clear route to arriving at regulatory approval. And we've recently had a guidance from the FDA which very clearly states the type of patient we need to treat and the endpoints, which are that their cancer is effectively eradicated and that is sustained for a period of a year.
An effective treatment for BCG unresponsive patients has been the result of an effective partnership.
Theralase has been a wise broker of existing technologies by putting together not only a new photosensitizer that's quite versatile with a different way of delivering laser light where the light can be measured, so the total dose calculated to introduce a new safety standard, I think is the unique attractive part of this to me as a practitioner. Assuming that we achieve what we're setting out to, many solid cancers are going to be treatable with this technology by modulating the light wavelength and different deliveries of the photosensitizer. So there are many other opportunities here.
The phase 2 study is scheduled to begin in late 2018 or early next year. Theralase is hoping for regulatory approval within 3 years. All four of the companies featured in today's episode tell us the same thing. The future is always just around the corner, and it's full of opportunities for savvy investors.
Medical cannabis is already a reality, and the legal adult recreational market in Canada is coming soon.
And lithium continues to become a key player in energy storage and electric vehicles. And with the right combination of drug and light, cancer cells can be eradicated.
Amazing.
Thanks for joining us today. For BTV, I'm Taylor Tone.
And I'm Jessica Kachachak.
Until next time, may your portfolio prosper.